It's important that we gather on a day like today to not be sad about the fact that Jesus died for us, but to celebrate the fact that we have a God who loves us that much. I hope we can put it in that context for you this day. And if you're joining us for your lunch hour, thank you. We'll try to get you out of here and back to work if you need to. If you're watching us, we're thrilled that you're with us. Today I just want to talk briefly about God's perfect love. Everybody say perfect.
Perfect.
It's God's perfect love. We can never talk about God's love and just say God's love, because God's love is not like any kind of love that we know here on earth. It's a perfect love. Every version that we have of love here falls short of God's perfect love. Our love is temporary. Our love is fading. Our love is fickle. Don't you know it's true? We've got fickle kind of love. Have you ever loved a sports team and then decided to stop loving that sports team? Have you ever loved a certain kind of food and then decided that you needed to stop loving that kind of food? Have you ever been in love and got dumped before? Love is temporary here, but when we talk about God's love, we've got to frame it right. It's God's perfect love. Everybody say perfect.
Perfect.
Let's pray it in this morning. Would you pray with me? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Give God that prayer. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, may you be glorified. May the people be edified until the people are satisfied. And may Satan be horrified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice we added one there? We were in Jamaica this past week. Pastor Dave Falconer runs Jamaica Link Ministries, and it is Pastor Falconer who I first heard pray that prayer. May God be glorified, the people edified, and Satan fortified. And while we were there, we were mentioning that, and he stopped me and he said, until the people are satisfied. And I said, you got to add one now, you got to up the game. We'll see if I can remember that, until the people are satisfied. I pray you'll be satisfied today from what we look at here in Scripture. 1 John 4, verse 8 and 9. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. God demonstrated His love. He showed us His love by sending His one and only Son. That is the demonstration of God's perfect love. So just a few quick things about His love, His perfect love and undeserved favor. Number one, God's perfect love is unselfish. Everyone say unselfish. We see in Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's no small thing that God chose to send His Son while the people were still in disobedience. Because none of us are saved in our perfection. We're all saved from our deficit. We all come to God with sin. There is no one who can claim to be sinless. So it is not a deserved kind of love. It is an unselfish love. It's a sacrificial love. That's what makes God's love a perfect love. It's perfect, selfish, unselfishness. At Oakwood, we have a little definition of love, and it's based on Christ going to the cross. It's love is the selfless, willing sacrifice for the good of another person, even if they don't deserve it, not expecting anything in return. And that's what Christ did for us on Friday. You see, nails can't hold gods to trees. He willingly laid down His life. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have said, I'm not going to do this today. But instead, He unselfishly, sacrificially, with perfect love, died for us. God's love is undeserved. Maybe that's hard for us. Maybe today you don't understand this, but He didn't die for us because we were good enough. He didn't die because we had earned it. There was nothing in us that would deserve God sending His one and only Son. We were still in our sins. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Oh, friends, it's undeserved. That's why God's love is a perfect love. It's unselfish. It's undeserved. He gives it freely. We enjoyed our work in Jamaica. I had trained the team before we left, and everything that I said to them became true. It's hard work and it's frustrating work. We Americans are so start to finish, get it done. We want to see something. When we're done, we want the job done. And nothing we did is done. Nothing we did is done. We did so many projects that we helped start, but we could not finish because either the cement had to dry or the laborers didn't show up that day. And it's frustrating. Trust me, these men were go-getters. I was looking back at the pictures realizing I did not take a young group of guys. Lance and Chase were the only ones that aren't on geriatric pills, I think. These were older men, and all of us were hard-working, tired, and worn out, and oh my goodness. And I told them, because some of them were frustrated. They wanted to see it done. And I told them, "Man, the problem is, if we had finished something, we probably would have wanted to put a plaque on it from the men of Oakwood." That's what we do as Americans. Look what we did. We built, and it's done, and the plaque goes on the wall. And that's the problem with salvation and our view of it. God said, it's not because of you. You can't put a plaque on it. You can't put a plaque on the cross that says, "I deserve this." It was unselfish, and it's undeserved. That's what makes God's love a perfect love. And God's perfect love is unchanging. That's what I'm so happy about. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed from the beginning of creation till now. He hasn't changed His mind. At some point He said, "I'm going to send my Son to die on a cross." And it is that kind of love that still is here for you and me today. It has not changed. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, it says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" Unfailing, everlasting. You see how even God has to put caveats to words, because our words wouldn't do it justice. God's love is unselfish. Say unselfish. God's love is undeserved. God's love is unchanging. And there's a story in the Bible that I want to close with. I want to frame all of Easter weekend on this story. It's one you know well. It's about when the Father runs in Luke 15. Luke 15 is one of my favorite passages to preach. You know it as the story of the prodigal son. We love it. We love to emphasize the prodigal son. You know, the one that ran away. The one that squandered his wealth. The one that lived wicked, right? And we love to talk about how bad the son is. And we even title the passage, "The Prodigal Son." I want to propose to you today that that story is not about the son. That whole story is in the Bible because it's about the Father. And don't forget, there's a trilogy here. Jesus was speaking. He was the one that preached the message. What precipitated the message? Well, the Pharisees, the religious people, were upset. They were murmuring and muttering to themselves because Jesus was with sinners and eating with bad people. And they were, the religious people were like, "Look at this man who identifies with wicked sinners." And Jesus immediately began to preach, and He told a trilogy, three stories. One about a guy who has 100 sheep. One gets lost. What does he do? He goes, looks for the lost sheep, 1 out of 100. The next story is about the widow who only has 10 coins. She loses one. What does she do? She lights the lamp and she searches until she finds the coin. There's 10 coins. One's still important. When she finds it, she calls all her friends and says, come celebrate with me, because my lost coin I found. So God loves the one out of 100, the one out of 10, and then Jesus finishes the trilogy by telling this story. He says there was a man who had 2 sons. 1 out of 2. See, Jesus was a master teacher. He amped up the story. You know, 1 out of 100 sheep. Oh, wow. 1 out of 10 coins. That's getting only 1 out of 2 sons. That's a loss. And he tells that story. Let me read it for you. Just a portion. On Easter morning, I'm going to finish this story. But in Luke 15:17-24, when he came to his senses, we're talking about the prodigal son. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? Don't forget it. He had gotten his inheritance, half of the land, and he had taken that money and squandered it in the Gentiles' world with wild living, prostitutes and everything. He's now working as a hired man at a farm, a pig farm. That's not a good place to be as a Jewish boy. And his job is to slop the pigs. He's got to feed the pigs their pods every day. And the Bible says he found himself that low where he's feeding pigs as a Jewish boy. And he wants to eat the pig's food, but no one will let him eat the slop. So he comes to his senses. Anybody here come to your senses? Anybody here live wild? Anybody here have a past? Your pastor does. Your pastor was eaten with the pigs. I was down in the mud, wallowing in their filth. I came to my senses. He comes to his senses and he says, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father, probably rehearsing his speech the whole time. Father, I've sinned against heaven. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. If I can just hire me on and I'll work as one of your slaves. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against Father. I've sinned against. But, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put the ring on his finger, put the sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. So they began to celebrate. Oh, friends, this story is not about a wayward son. We're all wayward sons. We're all wayward daughters. We've all gone astray. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The story is about, why is Jesus with sinners? The religious people are like, why is he eating with sinners? Why is he hanging out with bad people? And Jesus tells them 3 stories about who God is. The one who leaves the 99 to find the one. The one who searches for the lost coin. And the one who's looking for the son. Looking for the son. That's why he tells this story. On Jamaica, we had teams. We'd send people to some place. Sometimes the place was so small and tiny, there's no room to move. So we'd go to 2 or 3 different locations. And we were in White House, Jamaica for a part of the day, or part of the week. And on that job, there was 2 Jamaican young men that were working that job. And you might see pictures. And some of you might say, is that guy smoking a joint? Not one of ours. Yes, they were. All day long. What are those Christian men doing working on a job site with guys who are smoking the marijuana? Well, you know what? Who cares? You know, we were working alongside and we became friends. We didn't just work with him, we became friends with Pharrell and Ty. There was a bond there. It would be easy to judge that kind of action. What are you doing with that? No, Jesus said, no, that's who God is. You see, the wayward son had done the worst, and he is undeserved. But the Father sees his son, which tells me he's been looking every day. Every day the Father's been looking for him to come home. Why? We miss so much of this story because we don't understand the culture. This is not a culture like ours. This is a shame and honor culture. Their culture is based on shame and honor. And when this son had gone and lived wild and spent everything in the Gentile world on wicked living, he was to be shunned. He was to be cut off. Matter of fact, the Jewish people have a ceremony called the Kazazda. It's a ceremony which means cut off. For just an occasion like this, when a wayward son spent his inheritance on wild living with the Gentiles, if he were to try to come home, the village would see him coming. And if they saw him coming, they would take a clay pot. And before he could get to the village, they would do the Kazaza service, which is where they'd take the pot and they'd break it before him, smashing that pot. And it was very clear, you have broken your relationship with us. We are breaking our relationship with you. You are cut off and shunned. Father was watching every day. Why was he watching? Because he knew if his son came home, he got to feed the village. He's got to feed the village to his son. And we miss the importance of this story because the father runs. He hikes up his robe and he hightails it out of town to feed the village. To restore the son before the shame. A landowner doesn't run in this culture. A man of importance does not run anywhere. I'm reminded that as we get older, those of us who don't run very much, it's awkward. There was a few times in Jamaica, I don't know, sometimes we try to cross a road and there'd be cars coming. They come fast and and there's a couple of times I had, whoa! I tried to run and my body was like, didn't remember. That's why old men don't run. Men of stature don't run. It's a magnified. To see an old man hike up his robe and run out the village, down the road. That's what the Father does in this story. And you need to know why Good Friday is so good. Good Friday is so good because the Father runs. The Father ran to you and to me to restore us. He took the shame. God, our Father, runs to the wayward son. And today, if maybe you're still struggling with this whole idea of salvation, and are you good enough? Let me just help you with that. No, you're not. Do I deserve it? No, you don't. None of us do. None of us did. But what matters is the Father runs. And he beats the village so they can't break the pot. Because by the time they gather the pot, the boy has a robe on. And the ring is on his finger and the sandals are on his feet. And the father has claimed him restored to full sonship. And the town can't break the pot because he's been renewed. And that's what happened to me. Our friend today, and a Good Friday, may you breathe deep the love of the Father, not just the love of the Father, but perfect love. God's perfect love. He ran to save you. He willingly gave Jesus to die on that cross, to take the shame, to restore us to 100% sonship, full inheritance once again. If you have time, come back Sunday morning. We'll explain all those other parts of that story, which makes it so beautiful. I'll have the team come back up and we'll praise and worship Him for a Father who runs to a wayward son. A son who's no longer worthy to be called a son, just wants to be a slave again. And the Father says, I'll have none of that. Some of you, are you still rehearsing your speech? Have you come to the Father and you keep rehearsing the speech? I failed you, I failed you. Get over it. Once the Father has restored you, you've been made new. Stop acting like a slave. If you're a son, you're a son. If you're a daughter, you're a daughter. If He's claimed you, that's who you are. Stop rehearsing the speech. I love that God didn't even let him in the story. He didn't get to finish the speech. The Father's loving and kissing and killing the cow. You know, everybody in this story is happy except for two people. The younger son and the cow. He's not happy. But everybody else is celebrating. And so it's Good Friday, and I know there might be some of us a sad, somber thing that Jesus died, but in a way, we should be celebrating that. We should be celebrating that our Father runs and restores us to full sonship. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you didn't allow the Kazaza service to happen for me. You didn't allow the broken pot and the broken relationship to be the end of the story. No, you renewed and restored through Jesus dying on a cross, paying the penalty for our sins. And then you rose him from the grave, defeating sin and death once and for all. And all we need to do is believe. Your grace is sufficient. The gift is complete. By faith we receive it because of your love. Your perfect love. In Jesus' name. Amen.